All right, we are live at CHI from the Executive Club. Boys, what do you think about this?
Wow, this is awesome. I don't know how we got in here.
Well, I mean, we had to bribe Mitch, but fortunately, we just only had to give him like one Coca-Cola. Apparently, his dad doesn't ever let him have Coke.
Wow.
It's most disappointing for him.
All I know is we've got to monetize this podcast enough so that we can get one of these boxes, because I am tired of watching soccer with the normies.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words, and you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right.
Welcome to Soccer Chat, episode 15.
This is
the Sweet Life with Soccer Chat. Mm-hmm. We are in the Executive Club. And we're very thankful to the team for letting us come. We're going to have a chat with Mitch Martino, part of the Red Bulls front office, to talk about the awesome party that's going to be going on post-game. Tell us about some of the other things that are going to be going on with the game on Wednesday. But first, guys, we haven't had a chance to talk since this weekend. We had a scoreless draw between the two highest scoring teams in the league. What are your thoughts?
It was, okay, honestly, I was impressed with Fort Lauderdale. They've come a long way since the last time I watched them. And it felt like we've entered, you know, that Star Trek mirror universe. And so it felt like we were playing our mirrors because they matched up to us so well. And it seemed like, you know, for tit for tat that they, you know, we were kind of canceling each other out. But I was ultimately frustrated because I knew we were the better team. I think they were better than first. Second, we were definitely better. And it was so frustrating. We just couldn't get that ball in the net.
Well, you know, there's a couple things for me in that game. First and foremost, assume that the refs are always going to be that terrible. And so if the refs are always that terrible, we then are depending on us putting the ball in the net without any, with the fact that there's going to be times where we're having to do it while being pushed in the back. But on top of that, Tim Troeck was the reason that game's a tie.
Yes.
And that needs to be, I mean, starting like right away, like second minute, he makes his first save. There's multiple other saves. There's one that became, you know, nominee for save of the week, go out and vote for it, but it wasn't even his best save in our opinion. That's my takeaway is without Tim Troeck, that game doesn't end up in a tie.
No, absolutely. He was definitely man of the match. And the frustrating for them, I think frustrating for Fort Lauderdale was Tim Troeck. On the opposite end, the frustration was we just couldn't finish. So we were our own worst enemies, and Tim Troeck was their worst enemy.
So I think an additional enemy that we had to combat had to do with the refereeing. You know, I know the most shocking news at all for all. I believe now the Red Wolves are the only team in the league that has not had a penalty kick, as Omaha got one in their last game against North Carolina. Two pretty obvious. One, a guy going straight through the back of Rafa Mensigan with no attempt to play the ball.
Yeah.
And another on a cross coming to the back post as our player is in the air. He gets run into and bumped. And when you go back to the game that took place here at CHI against Madison, where Jono's goal was taken off the board for winning a very clean header in the air.
Yeah, that's
to have someone come and bump someone in the air and the referee not give that call is super frustrating. Well, and then we go into the second half. We create a lot of great opportunities. We have a good push trying to come away with that goal. You feel like we're a team that's the better team that should come away with the win.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think it comes down to, something that's a theme that we've talked about, is a lot of guys on the team pressing, trying to play hero ball. There was a play where Markey got sent in, was coming to the front post, I believe came off of a – got a rebound off a save. All he has to do is make a little slide across the goal, and Galindrez is there for a tap in. Instead, he goes for a power shot that the keeper then deflects over the goal.
Yeah.
And some of those things, I think the team needs to tighten up to really turn these draws into wins.
What's, you know, it's not even just missed opportunities where, like that, what you're talking about there. There's been goals that we've scored where we scored the goal and it was wonderful. But if you go back and watch the goal, we had a wide open player that a touch pass would have made that not nearly as a complicated goal to score. And sometimes I think they get so excited about this amazing goal that they scored that even in those situations, someone should look at them and be like, yeah, great goal. Galindres was wide open. This one that I'm thinking about specifically, there was a goal that was scored where Jackson Dietrich literally is standing by himself and he's like this. Even after the goal score, he's still going, dude, like, I'm right here. Why are you not passing it? And that's one of those things that if that continues, that's going to bite you when you playoffs come, because you're going to get less opportunities as you're playing the top teams to have that. And if you don't have the habit already in the next few games of rebuilding that and looking for the open man, you're not going to have it when you have pressure and you have an added desire to score.
Well, see, I think it's twofold with that. I absolutely agree that we're trying to score so quickly without setting it up. I think we're missing some really good opportunities. And I think the second part is, I'm not sure we're keeping the tenacity we were keeping a few weeks back, where we take a shot and then we just kind of move back. But when in the past, we just kept going. We just, yeah. You don't like this one? I got another one. You got another one. Just kept going. And I'm not seeing that to the same level as we were just a few weeks ago.
Well, I think part of that is, it's a different team selection that we've been seeing for the past 5-6 weeks than we saw earlier in the season. I don't know what the full reason for that is, but I feel like they're this far into the season, it surprises me how much we're still tinkering with the lineup, that we don't have a more set, this is what we do. I don't know if it's that Coach Jimmy just feels more comfortable dictating what's going to happen by adjusting his lineup to what he's going against and saying, oh, you like to do this defense? I don't care. I've got this player that can do that to you, and he likes to change it up. I prefer this is how we do it. Try to beat us, because I think we're the better team on the field. I think we have the better players, and I don't understand why we're not doing more of that.
So we're looking at a great run of form, 14 games unbeaten. Unfortunately, most of those games are ties. Yeah. We've talked a little bit about it already, but what are those things that we need to do to turn those draws into wins? I can think of three games at least where we really should have come away with that win when that game ended up a tie. Sometimes because of those decisions from referees that you really can't do anything about. Yeah. But other times just looking at opportunities that maybe we missed. And we'd be running away with this table if that was the case. So what are the things that we need to do as we come into these last 10 games that are going to help us turn those draws into wins, get 3 points, and really run away and make sure that we're at home for playoff games at CHI?
Final third. That is the key. That's what we're missing. We have it, but not to the level that we really should. We've shored up our defense, which is fantastic. That's been one of the things I've been really impressed. But on that other end, we're just not getting the ball over the line.
We've given up one goal in the last three games.
Yeah.
That's impressive, especially when you include how many players we were missing when we were in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
You include the fact that Fort Lauderdale is one of those teams that's a very high-scoring team, right? And they didn't score on us. You take a look at that and you think to yourself, that's good. But I think with that has come a little bit less of the pressure. And so the question is, which is better? Do we continue to try to get a counter score, which is what we seem to have been doing of late, or do we go back to a full-on pressure all the time and trust that Trope's going to continue to get those ridiculous saves?
Interview with Coach Jimmy that the team put out on social media, he's talking about the fact that everyone's healthy, everyone's ready as we go into this stretch run. You may be able to do both. Maybe you can go back to more of that pressing style, knowing that you've got a lot of defensive issues sorted out. The players that are there, a good working relationship between Jason Ramos and Daniel Navarro.
Yeah.
Capizucci seems to have done a very good job stepping in on the left side as far as his move more to spelling people on the bench, and does a great job when he comes in those substitute appearances. Jonathan Ricketts making team of the week, well deserved. He was very involved in that game, had a lot of great plays. So he's continuing to have that quality. And so maybe we're going to be able to do both. And we come out against a dangerous team like North Texas and press them into mistakes that we can counter and capitalize on.
So as we head to North Texas and you look at the lineup that we had versus Fort Lauderdale, what are you expecting changes as they come here tomorrow night to host North Texas? What's the main change you're either expecting or hoping to see?
I think I kind of like it more when Ruiz is a little further up the pitch. I think he's such a creative player, and he's playing a little further back. So I feel like he's kind of him and Jose Cabrera Garcia are trying to do the same thing. And so I'd like to see Ricky start further up, and we've got that creative spark. There's something else that we're missing up front. I don't know what else. I'm not sure on another player, another swap. I think Rowe is better suited for off the bench. And so there's I think Jackson has done great. Definitely keep Jackson in there. I trust Jimmy Villalobos, but if we could get someone else. I like Markey starting, but I also love Markey's impact. And I think he's probably more effective, just like Galindres. He's amazing. But you get Markey in Galindres on the end, which I thought that was going to happen in this game. I thought so much that they're going to make that happen. Yeah. You still got Ricky and Jose Cabrera Garcia just still moving, and I thought something was going to happen there. So there's something else. I'm not sure why Blake wasn't available. Maybe to see a two striker.
Something that I think would be great to see is Rafa Mensigan moved out to a wing position. And to see Frischknecht Galindres as that number nine and have not necessarily a dual striker, as you would still have someone like Jackson Dietrich on the other side.
Yeah.
But to see Rafa bring that, his game from the wing, from the outside, and working in combination with someone like Galindres or Frischknecht. I love the passion that Rowe brings, and I think it's better in more of a substitute role where he comes in for a shorter period of time.
Yeah,
and would love to see someone like Ricky or Ray Ortiz or Jimmy Villalobos or even Josue España come in that third midfield role and really step up. And the only thing I can think for those is there is something that Coach Oblate has seen in practices that those guys are not taking that. And so, the time is now. We've got 10 games remaining and really making a push to finish this season in first place. And so I'd love to see those guys who had a lot of quality that was promised, and a couple of them are on the scoreboard for the season, really step up and make those plays.
Well, you mentioned before, I think you mentioned that the coach had said about us having a full, healthy staff.
Yep.
I mean, so does that mean that we could see Wilafi back? Is he healthy? Because I think he, in that defensive midfield, that really opens things up so we can push forward more.
Yeah, the only thing I see with Wally is I don't know that he has the energy for 90 minutes. And
right.
You can control how long someone's in by bringing them off the bench.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I think you could see Wally come in if we get a lead, especially if we get like a two-goal lead. I could see him bring Wally in to kind of settle the defense on the on the midfielder side. I think that's probably where he's best suited is have him as a defensive specialist when you've got a lead you need to protect, because he's really good about controlling and making the right pass, but he's not necessarily the right guy to build a scoring situation. And so I would rather see him continue, if he does come back to the bench, to come back to the bench. That said, I think Rowe in the same way. I would like to see Rowe go to the bench. I don't know if it's España that I want to see kind of get in there. I don't know who it is that replaces him, but I feel like I am still shocked that Rowe hasn't gotten a red card yet. Because you mentioned his passion. A lot of times it's dissent to the ref. And these refs they're quick with their cards, and I keep waiting for something to happen.
Fully deserved, by the way.
He has a strong sense of justice, and it's usually when he's really angry, isn't so much what happened to him, it's what happened to his teammates, his brothers, his family. And so I totally get why he's frustrated, but at the same time, he's a professional, and you have to keep that. And otherwise, you're going to end up hurting your brother.
And I've given a hard time to him, either on the podcast or just kind of talking with other supporters. He's not Juan Mare, okay? He's not someone that when he's on the field, I'm confused as to why he's on the field.
Adam didn't spit on the floor when he said his name.
Yeah. It's not that type of situation, but it is sometimes where there's plays that he makes that I am like, okay, you're there. Like, you're getting in the right spot. Like, so it's not like Mare where you look up and you're like, you're 30 yards offsides and away from the ball. What is happening? It's not that, but he's in the right spot. It's just something about, I don't know if he gets nervous or what, but like it seems like when he gets the ball to his feet, he's very quick and very like, just takes one too many touches out of almost like fear to pass the ball because he's afraid of making the right pass. I don't know what it is, because you'll also see glimpses of that's what coach must be seeing, where he'll turn a guy The guy will just literally, he'll turn the guy around and you're like, how are you 3 yards away from him already? Well done, right? But it's glimpses. And until I start seeing it be more than just a glimpse, I just don't see the 90 minutes or the 80 minutes that he's been getting.
All right. Well, now's the time where we make our uncomfortable predictions. Jeff?
Well, when you go to uncomfort, you go for the age. So I am really – okay. The safe bet would be a draw because that's the law of averages.
And what we do.
But I am going to – you know, because – you know, this is, it's not going to cost me any money. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Red Wolves win. I think, I'm going to go for a 2-0 Red Wolves win because Trilk has won me over. Trilk plays the way he plays tonight. There's no way we're going to lose. But I think our players are frustrated and they want to get the ball in. Even though I know it's a Wednesday night, I think we're going to make a difference. The fans out there on the pitch is what's going to push it over. So I'm going to go for a 2-0. I'm going to be extra positive.
So I'm going to go back to my normal ways of being very negative. I've got this as our first loss for 14 games. We have been either winning or tying. We're at home. We have yet to have lost at home this season. And here's why I'm saying that. North Texas has been playing really well lately. And you can't discount that. I don't expect a blowout. I've got us losing this 1-0 and me walking out of the stadium going, well, if they would have called the 2 penalties, we would have won the game. That's what I'm expecting.
So you talk about North Texas playing well. They're unbeaten in 9 games right now. However, the last 4 of those have been draws. Out of those 9 games, they only have 3 wins. So they're kind of in the same boat that we're in that they're unbeaten, but they're not winning. And I think I agree more with Jeff that we have a team that is frustrated, that is wanting to get to the breakthrough. When you talk to any of the players, when we have any of these interviews, they all talk about how close they are.
Yeah.
And I just got to feel like at some point during the week, since they played Saturday, Coach Ablade has taken the team over to Camp Jordan. They found some kids playing pickup, and they asked them to join in. And we had this awesome music montage of all of them playing soccer with a bunch of kids and rediscovering their joy of the game. And then Keenan Thompson taught them how to shoot a knuckle puck. And they're going to come out Wednesday and really show people what they can do as a team, attacking, pressing. They're going to defend well. So I'm saying 3-0 Red Bulls victory.
I hope you guys are right.
Wow. I thought I was crazy, but I knew you were. Now, you know, there's another factor, and we're in it right now, because up until this week, there was still a little bit of Greenville green on the outside of this, because this has been, you know, every time that you come to the stadium, there's something a little bit different. There's something added to it. But for a while, it was that Greenville color that was here for it. Now it's completely gone. I'm wondering if that's going to impact. I've noticed our players respond and the fans respond when they see another step in the stadium, which means there's long-term investment. So I'm hoping that's also going to come into play.
So that's a good cue. We are, of course, tomorrow is going to be a big night as we debut the executive club. And I say we, I had nothing to do with it. But we're going to bring on Mitch Martino, part of the Red Wolves front office. Thank you for joining us, Mitch. Really big day as we open the club and the suites. You know, you've been here with the club since they broke ground. This was just, you know, kind of forested, swampy area, and look at everything that it is now. What are your thoughts as you just kind of see this debuting? And
I think it's very exciting every time that something new comes into the stadium. Just like you guys are talking about, every time you come, there's something different. I feel like this building specifically really progressed very, very quickly, being a bunch of steel beams at the start of the season, and all of a sudden to where we can get people in here, and we're very close to being fully done. So, you know, it's awesome. It's really rewarding to see. And I think it's kind of, you know, being able to have it to where, like, you guys as well have been in the stadium and seen it progress so much over the past year plus at this point. I think it's been kind of unique because in most other situations, you know, they don't let anyone in until the thing's fully done. And we've had this unique scenario to where there's a new thing to check out every single time we come to a game. So definitely having a major stadium asset like this come online is really exciting. So,
I mean, I look at it as like watching a child grow every time you come and you see something new happening and this different thing. Does it feel like your youngest brother as you watch everything come up? And what's kind of your favorite part as you look at all the features that are coming as part of the Executive Club? What's your favorite part?
So I guess going off your first question, there's definitely a lot of pride in seeing it progress and continue to grow. And, you know, I think that it really, seeing it's one thing, and then also, like you mentioned earlier, hearing from the players, you know, their appreciation, hearing from you guys and hearing from all of our fans how much you guys appreciate, you know, everything that we're doing really means a lot for sure. When it comes to the exec club, there's a lot of stuff. I think some of the major elements, which in 2022, we'll have our full menu and everything available. It'll be fully all-inclusive at the exec club. Is probably the food and beverage tie-in that we're going to have. We're at the final stages of getting our liquor license right now as well, too. So we'll kind of get some. We're trying to come up with a good name for a Red Wolves mixed drink. So I feel like if you guys come up with anything solid, let me know.
I don't know about solid, but it probably would be very liquid.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge. Oh, yes.
Name it the Rusty Third Kit, and then we don't have to hear it anymore.
Exactly, the Rusty Third Kit.
Yeah, I guess that's how we
can just get rid of it. Just get rid of that bad joke. All right, so let me ask you this: Looking at tomorrow, what can the season ticket holders expect as they come to the game, and what is going to be available to them tomorrow?
Yeah. So what we're doing tomorrow is pretty much what we like to call a preview of the Exec Club and the Sky Suites. So during the game, people who are sitting in the Exec Club and have those tickets will have access to this area we're in right now. And with that, you know, we'll have some food options available. We'll have a much wider array and more extravagant next year when when we fully build out the inclusive element of it. We'll have the bar over there up and running. We'll have, you know, the TVs going, everything. It'll be kind of, you know, for lack of repeating myself, or to repeat myself, it'll be, you know, just a solid preview. You know, I think with something like this, we could wait and wait till everything's perfect, but, you know, being able to get people in as early as possible, being able to let people experience it was definitely a top priority of ours. So we're excited for that. And then, you know, after the game, we're going to have an after party up here with exclusive to all the season ticket holders. And with that, you know, we're going to have the press come up here and they'll do their post game interviews up here. So you guys can all see that firsthand. And then we're also going to have a few of the players up here for a meet and greet. And, you know, I know our season ticket holders have been really patient with, player meet and greets since all the COVID protocols have been very restrictive over the past year plus. So being able to get Jonathan Ricketts, Ricky Ruiz, and, Carrera up here will be great. I know they're looking forward to mingling with a lot of the fans as well. So,
excellent. So you mentioned two of them that have recently gone blonde. Does that mean that Ricketts tomorrow is going to go blonde as well?
I don't know.
There's got to be peer pressure.
No one knew about it until literally they walked in and were like, "Who are those guys?" They were our players.
Marky shaved his head. I don't know if it's to be more aerodynamic, and then it went blonde. And then Ricky went the Adama Traore skunk head. And then Jose joined in. So who knows what's going to happen this week. So.
Yeah, you never know.
So there's lots of excitement tomorrow around the Executive Club opening and the after party. That is going to be no cost to season ticket holders, mm-hmm. correct? They can come up and all of the refreshments and everything are going to be on the house, as it were. But what else is going on during the game? Other kind of promotions are you doing that everyone can get excited about?
So I guess real quick to double back on what you just said. So admission and getting in and everything will be fully complimentary, but we'll have after the game, food and drink available for purchase. Sorry to burst your bubble there.
You're good. No, that's
it was worth a shot.
It's important to know as I try to grab a handful of a cocktail.
It's not his first time to do that.
But yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've of course got $2 beer night back, and then we're partnering with the.
Real quick, that $2 beer night, is that in when the game starts?
Because I guess that's kind of how we do it.
Oh, it's the whole time. Cool. Yeah, yeah. Good to know.
Until the 70th minute. And at the 70th last
call is the 80th minute.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think so.
But yeah, it's all game long beforehand and everything as well. So
excellent.
But yeah, so we've got that going on, and then we're partnering with the Hamilton County schools to do a supplies drive, and then we've also, through our partnership with them, we've kind of had almost a competition with the students that are coming to the games. Selecting their most impactful educators so far and everything like that. We've got a handful of, giveaways and everything for them. And then we'll be making a contribution to the schools as well at halftime. And then we're probably going to get some teachers and, faculty out doing the little dizzy PK race at halftime.
Very good.
So with the school supply drive, you're going to have folks at the gate as they're getting their tickets scanned. It'll be just kind of a place where you can put buckets and drop those supplies.
Yeah.
So everybody can go get their Trapper Keepers. They can get their pencils. If you bring Rose Art crayons, you will be turned away at the door. Don't bring those trash crayons. You give those kids Crayolas. They deserve it.
Yeah. They're our future. Okay. They're going to determine what nursing home you're going to be in. Be nice to those kids. All right.
Jeez. My nursing home is going to be terrible.
Well,
we always knew that.
There's that. Mitch, I want to thank you so much for joining us in our ridiculous humor and humoring that and inviting us to get a kind of a first look and be able to show some of our viewers what's here and the ridiculous view that you get from up here in the executive clubs.
Awesome.
You can see the entire feel.
You're going to have to kick us out tomorrow. Yeah. I know.
Even the corner. You can even see the corner flex.
Yeah.
Even from up here at the stadium, you can see corner flex. One last question, as we're going to kind of change topics and go talk about the men's national team. What the heck is that all about? What do you think is going on with the men's national team?
I don't know if you can do a Rocky-esque run the morning of and then proceed to tie. Did you guys see Bearhalter running through downtown Nashville morning of?
That's so great.
In all of his gear. I don't know. I think if you're going to behave like that, you got to win. But
all right, that's a perfect, perfect
on that
segue.
Note, thank you, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Mitch.
Wow. All right, guys. So the sky is falling. U.S. national team, first two games of World Cup qualifying, 2 points, 2 draws, including this last one against Canada at home. They are going to be playing in Honduras on Thursday.
Yep.
And Weston McKennie will not be available.
Shocked.
Who knows who else will not be available? Are we gonna do this again?
And miss?
Are we gonna miss the World Cup again?
So here's the thing. I want to freak out as much as you do. We fully expected this should be a 7-point takeaway, right? That was what we said. Like, at worst, 7 points, possibly 9, made sense based off who we're playing and such. That said, 2 of the 3 games are away games. If we manage to get a victory here, you still feel like you're in a good spot. You're not happy with it, but I'd rather have 5 points than 3 points or 2 points. If we lose this, then I think you could start sounding alarms and start freaking out. But the fact is, 2 of the 3 are still away games. That's significant when you start thinking about the fact that we do have the opportunity to host and to do some other things further into the qualifier.
Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, I haven't been following as close as you, because I was in Canada, so I can't really talk too bad about Canada.
No, you can talk bad about it. But it's allowed. You're back.
I think Canada has improved, but we still should have gotten that game. And that was a big disappointment, especially when we had, not even our best team able to beat Mexico's not best team. That actually says a lot, though, because they really are a solid team. So I was hoping we'd get more there. We're there in Nashville. There was huge support. And I think disappointed. But I don't think the end's over. But if they don't turn it up, it will be. Their backs are against the wall. They've got to start getting some wins, or they're just going to have a longer vacation.
So the way that they finished that game against Canada makes me highly skeptical that they can go down to Honduras, who is probably the third, fourth best team in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
And come away with a victory. And it's a theme ever since Greg Berhalter has taken over. It was a theme, honestly, when Jurgen Klinsmann was coaching, of we do not take a game by the throat and win it. We got that one goal up, and the crowd was into it, and they were excited, and our team shut off for 1 second and got beat by the speed, and the goal scored, and the whole building deflated, the players with it. It's going to be a very difficult situation in Honduras, and I have a hard time seeing us come away with that win, which puts us at best at 3 points, which I believe is similar to where we started in the last hex before that World Cup. And from there, the pressure only gets ratcheted up, and U.S. players don't seem to be able to perform when that pressure is turned on. I'm very, very – I believe that they're going to qualify. I think we're going to qualify in third place, needing to get a draw on the last day, and we're going to play the most tortured, anxiety-ridden draw that we can possibly play in the last game of the octagonal.
So
and we'll get there.
Let me ask you this. We don't get the victory. Does Berhalter keep his job? We get a loss. Say it's a loss.
I feel like we will, because here again, I don't think U.S. soccer is one that they want to show that they're not going to overreact.
But is that an overreaction at that point?
I don't think it is, but I think that they'll think it is.
Yeah.
And that's why they'll keep him through further into the cycle. But he has – I don't feel like this team is impressed with the loads of attacking talent that we have. A lot of people were questioning the substitution choices that he made. The thing that was the biggest fail to me was that he waited until the 80th minute to put anyone in when that game obviously needed a change. That we didn't see Ricardo Pepi, a guy who was on a hot streak when we needed that goal to get that win at home. I understand not putting him in first thing in El Salvador, where you're afraid that that's going to be too much, that someone's going to throw something that's going to unnerve him.
Yeah.
But here in Nashville, when you needed that point, and we all know Ricardo Pepi is going to come in and take someone's heart out.
And he's got speed, and he's got a great finishing leg. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense to me either. But based off the way that they were playing, they needed a counterattack forward, and he was like, well, I got one. Yeah, let's not use him. I was like, what's happening? Like, you brought on this player who has been, as you said, on a hot streak in MLS.
Yeah,
it's MLS, but you're playing MLS players.
Right.
It's not like you're like, yeah, but it's only MLS. Yeah. Who do you think Canada's full of?
Yeah.
It's MLS players, like, or USL. Like, Jamaica's a USL team, basically, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, you're not playing against European talent. So if you've got a guy who's beating MLS talent on a regular basis on your bench who fits exactly what you need and you don't pull that trigger, that makes sense for people to be confused and frustrated by you. Here's my thing. If he loses this game and U.S. soccer doesn't take an action on him, they can't the rest of the way. Because this is really, in my opinion, the only time that there's enough time for him to build up for whoever would replace him to build something different and to put an impact. You wait until the next cycle of games and you're still not happy with them, you've waited too long. This is it. It's either they turn it on and they get a win for him, he loses it and they get rid of him and they replace him with someone else.
So all that said, my one positive from what I've seen so far, I was always very dismissive of Josh Sargent, but in these last two games, I finally see the potential that everyone was so hyped about. I don't think he's earned the number one, he's the number nine for the U.S. men's national team. But I finally get it now, what people have been talking about, seeing him play in these games. We'll see where that goes.
All right.
Any other thoughts?
No. I think you pretty well covered it. International break is coming to a close and then we're going to get back to our regular schedule on European football. So looking forward to that.
We don't have to talk about that because we've been on a break, so we can move.
We're on a break.
All right. We're on a break.
You don't want to talk about that?
So, programming note, we probably won't be having an off the post Wednesday.
We'll see
a regular show Thursday as we get ready for that match Saturday at Greenville. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate the team for letting us come show this off. We expect to see you guys loud and rowdy on $2 beer as we take on North Texas. Bye.
All right. Well, I got to say, our camera person is the most attractive person I've ever met.